Hey everybody, Rob Mauer here. Happy Friday. Today we are going to be talking about the comments from Elon Musk yesterday on X and some backlash from that today. We've also got some Tesla updates and some pretty big news from OpenAI that I think is worth discussing as well. All right, looking at the stock, Tesla today up about 1/3%, closing at $234.30, while the Nasdaq, I think for the third day in a row, up about 0.1% again today. All right, so we'll save some of the comment stuff for later. Let's get to the Tesla updates first. We do have some news here potentially on the Cybertruck delivery event from Millennio. They're reporting that Tesla's design director, Javier Verdura, I'm not sure if I'm saying that correctly, so sorry, Javier, if I'm getting it wrong, but during a keynote in Monterrey in Mexico, did say that apparently they are going to deliver the first 10 Cybertrucks at the event in a couple of weeks. So we've heard rumors of 70. We've also heard rumors that they're maybe delivering some to multiple different locations around the country. No one really knows exactly, but this would be presumably the most accurate information that we have so far. It would be a little bit surprising, though, because we have seen on multiple occasions, including today from Jeff Roberts' Drone Flyover video, instances of more than 10 Cybertrucks sitting at Giga Texas. Here we can see 11 in this particular photo. So it would be a little bit odd, I think, in terms of that count if this is accurate. Certainly seems like Tesla would have the capacity to deliver more. They could still be producing sort of release candidate versions, but with the amount that we have seen so far, that would seem to be, you know, quite a few, probably quite a few more than I would expect. So we'll see, but nevertheless, that is sort of the report that we have at least to work off of for now. And then following up on a topic from yesterday, which was advertising, we had seen the first YouTube advertisement, video advertisement from Tesla, that was showing a crash test and talking about Tesla safety. Benelux Tesla on X had noticed in their YouTube account that they had seen a different YouTube advertisement from Tesla. This one, I don't have the full video of, but was a little bit more standard. I think yesterday it looked like Tesla had kind of spliced out some of their previous promotional content. I think kind of the same case with this ad, but a little bit more focused on sort of the family experience with the electric vehicle, particularly with the Model Y, and highlighting some details like range and of course price. So a little bit more traditional, I would say, versus what we had talked about yesterday, but shows that Tesla is trying at multiple different angles. Again, I think this is probably something that Tesla put together pretty quickly from previous promotional videos that they have made and just trying to quickly convert that into a video ad campaign without really developing it from the ground up, as we normally see Tesla do. But nevertheless, interesting to see, you know, a little bit of a divergent strategy with the content of these different advertisements. So that should give Tesla some, you know, at least a little bit of information on what's resonating more with people. And again, they'll take that opportunity and learn and grow their strategy from there. We've also got an update on X today from Ellie Messo, looking at the strike that we have talked about in Sweden on a couple of occasions. So Tesla sent an email about this, and Ellie sharing the email here, so just a translated section that we'll look at. It looks like 90% of Tesla's employees in Sweden have chosen to remain in their positions, again, in Sweden during this strike effort. So I would say that's very good retention rate for their employees. Basically, they're just saying that they have chosen not to enter into a collective agreement. And so far, vast majority of employees seem to be supporting that stance and continuing to work. Now, we have also talked about how this could expand to other businesses and could affect Tesla's ability to get vehicles into the country, to service vehicles. Those are challenges that Tesla will have to work through if they continue with the strategy, which seems very likely. But it does seem like it's a challenge that Tesla is willing and prepared to work through. So we'll continue to keep an eye on that, but that is the sort of update that was sent out by Tesla today on the strikes in Sweden. Then we've got a couple updates on Tesla in China here. First from Tesla Chan, saying that rumors are spreading in China that Tesla China will raise vehicle prices once again. Normally, I might not mention this because, again, it is just a rumor, but we have seen the previous price changes, of which there have been a couple in China, preluded by rumors just like this. So I think that adds credibility that this could also end up being the case. Obviously, the price increases previously were pretty small as well, so there would presumably still be room for Tesla to continue kind of those marginal levels of increases. So we'll keep an eye on that. And then following the Elon Musk meeting with Xi Jinping, it looks like there's been a report on Weibo that the previous topic that we had talked about of Tesla vehicles not being allowed on certain government locations or government properties in China due to concerns about surveillance and things like that. It looks like those prohibitions are potentially being removed in China following, again, the meeting between Musk and Xi Jinping. Maybe coincidental in terms of timing, but certainly it wouldn't seem that way. Nevertheless, I think probably a good sign for Tesla and the relationship in China if this ends up being accurate. So another one that we'll keep an eye out for any more details on there. And then finally, before we get into, or I guess maybe we've got a couple more things here, but yeah, I think this is the last one before we get into those comments. So Green the Only posting, as he tends to do, some information on that's being discovered in the firmware, talking about how the 2024 base models are showing up. And then more probably interestingly, front heated seats and heated wipers, he says, are turning into paid features. Says for new cars with a question mark by it, indicating that maybe that would not apply for vehicles that already have these features, which wouldn't make a lot of sense. But maybe for new cars, this could be unbundled and turned into a separate software update feature, similar to the acceleration boost or the rear heated seats that we have seen Tesla add as a software option in vehicles in the past. So it's not unprecedented. I think when people see this, they kind of assume or maybe have the connotation that this could be a subscription feature, because we have seen companies like BMW try to do that with heated seats. I wouldn't take it that way. That's not something that we have seen from Tesla before, like we have seen just the one-time purchase option. So we'll see. It just appearing in the firmware also doesn't mean that this is necessarily something that Tesla is going to do. Could be there for any number of reasons, but nevertheless, some interesting details there. He also says that there is user interface design for electronic toll connectors. Looks like this would be mostly relevant in Asia, according to some of his other comments. So I'm not super well versed on how that would be beneficial. You know, obviously that's a little bit intuitive, but how important that is rather in China for this to be integrated with the interface. But could be a nice feature if that is something that is quite beneficial. And then finally, the FCW gets R152 mode. It's a little bit unclear exactly what that is. I think FCW would be forward collision warning. R152 mode, from another post that Green shared, seems to be a UN regulation relating to the emergency braking system. So I don't want to spend a ton of time to read through this and fully understand that. But if this is something that may be applicable for you or something you're interested in, you can find a little bit more information on that. All right, let's get into these comments from Elon. So, obviously, I didn't discuss these yesterday. For those that had asked in the comments, no problem discussing it there. When I had read this yesterday and my interpretation of these comments at the time, I didn't think it was going to rise to the level that we would need to discuss it. To me, it seemed like a continuation of things that Elon has said before. But that was, again, my interpretation of it. And clearly, today it has risen to the level of definitely needing to discuss it with impacts to the business. So we'll try to do that. It is a delicate topic, obviously. This is a live stream, so I'll do my best. No matter what, I'm going to face criticism on it for things that I do say or things that I don't say. But we'll try to, address some of this topic today. So first off, there was some criticism from the White House on these comments from Elon. So you can see the reply here. He said, "You have said the actual truth," to a post here talking about Jewish communities pushing the exact kind of dialectical hatred against the whites that they claim to want people to stop using against them. So again, normally a topic that would be a little bit outside of the scope, obviously, of Tesla Daily, but some, as the title here says, backlash on these comments today. First from the White House. So I believe the press secretary here shared some comments just saying that this was anti-Semitic from Elon. These comments from Elon on X says he's pretty proud of his pushback, I think, sharing this pretty vitriolic, or maybe not probably not the right word there, but you can see White House excoriates Musk for endorsing message. Pretty significant thing there that he is resharing on X, so I think pretty proud of those comments. And then specifically to business impact, Apple pausing advertising on X after this. And then following that, it looks like Disney and also Lionsgate have reportedly paused advertising on X, which we have seen before. These companies have returned to advertising on X, but for the time being at least, they have been paused. So in general, addressing this, as I mentioned, reading this, I think this is just a continuation of sort of the complaints that Elon has had with the ADL previously, which we have, I think, discussed briefly before. My personal opinion, after listening to pretty much every single public word that Elon has stated over the last decade, reading every single word that Elon has published over the last decade, I'm quite confident that Elon is not anti-Semitic, not racist. So again, that's why I didn't feel like this rose to the level of discussion. However, based on this reaction, obviously it has. Elon clarified his comments a little bit more later on. But I think in general here, you know, my main feedback would be, like I have said before, it would be great if Elon would be a little bit less divisive or integrate a little bit less in these topics that are so divisive. Again, it's a very delicate topic. It's a very sensitive topic for very good reason, right? There are a lot of issues that are rooted in both sides of this discussion. So Elon diving into this in a way that is perhaps liable to be easily misinterpreted is a problem. So I'd definitely prefer it if Elon was a little bit more considerate of how his words could be misinterpreted, whether those misinterpretations are intentional or unintentional. And I think when there are comments like this that are especially piling onto another comment from somebody else, it leaves him liable again to be misinterpreted. When he says his clear comments, I don't think many people disagree with them. You know, he's clarified that he's against anti-Semitism of all types, against racism of all types. It's hard to disagree with any of those points of view. But when you make a comment like this that, again, is a little bit more open for interpretation, that interpretation can very easily be, turned against you. So hopefully there's something to be learned there. Hopefully this will be a situation where Elon can maybe be a little bit more considerate of those things in the future. And again, I know people are going to have all sorts of different opinions on my comments here and on Elon's comments, and that's okay. But, you know, it kind of is what it is. Hopefully the point of view that I've got there is something that is understandable. We could, of course, spend time debating the merits of the comments and all the background of all of these divisive topics. But I just, you know, it's really, again, outside of the scope of the podcast. So probably left better for a Twitter space or something like that, that is a little bit more discussion based. So we'll move on from that for now. Feel free to, you know, if you have any other questions or comments, post those in the comments today, and I'll try to take a look at those things. But for now, we'll move on to some very interesting news from OpenAI. Kind of out of nowhere today, they announced that Sam Altman is going to be departing as CEO of the company. He's been CEO of OpenAI for about 3 years now, also leaving the board of directors. They said that Mr. Altman's departure follows a deliberative review process by the board, which concluded that he was not consistently candid in his communications with the board, hindering its ability to exercise its responsibilities. The board no longer has confidence in his ability to continue leading OpenAI. So again, kind of out of nowhere here. We don't really have a whole lot of other details. They did also say that Greg Brockman will be stepping down as the chairman of the board. He will remain in his role at the company. So a little bit of an unusual move, and a move that was very short-lived, as Greg Brockman today posted an update on X, saying, "After learning the news today, this is the message I sent to the OpenAI team. Hi, everyone. I'm super proud of what we've all built together since starting in my apartment 8 years ago. We've been through tough and great times together, accomplishing so much despite all the reasons it should have been impossible. But based on today's news, I quit. Genuinely wishing you all nothing but the best. I continue to believe in the mission of creating safe AGI that benefits all humanity." And this was a reply to Sam Altman's post on X earlier that day, saying, "I loved my time at OpenAI. It was transformative for me personally and hopefully the world a little bit. Most of all, I loved working with such talented people. We'll have more to say about what's next later." So again, we don't really have a whole lot of other details right now. I'll refrain from speculation. I'm sure we'll continue to hear a little bit more about this, but this is a big move, and you might be wondering why we're talking about it, but obviously OpenAI, a company that Elon helped found and fund, doesn't have a role there anymore, but certainly related to Elon's world, especially, you know, with XAI now, and of course with Tesla's AI efforts as well. So just generally interesting news in the AI space, and hopefully we'll learn a little bit more about this as that story develops. All right, and then last couple of things for today. End on some, I guess, maybe not happier, but I don't know. I guess we can go with that on this one. The Wall Street Journal reporting that Jim Chanos, who, of course, has been a vocal short seller of Tesla for a long, long time, has decided to close his hedge funds. Those have declined to $200 million in assets under management, down from $6 billion in 2008. That can come both from market losses as well as withdrawal of funds, which I'm sure that was a combination of both. So deciding to close up shop after, you know, loud and vocal and wrong bets against Tesla. He actually had agreed at one point with, on X, or formerly Twitter at that point, to come on Tesla Daily and do an interview, provided that Tesla hit 500,000 vehicles delivered in 2020. He thought there was no chance of doing that, so he said, sure, I'll do it if they hit it. Tesla came up 450 vehicles short. They produced well over 500,000, though, and Chanos said that that was not enough, and he did not ultimately, obviously, come on the podcast. And he later blocked me for correcting a failure to see some logic in some comments from Elon on Bitcoin and their relation or their differences to fiat currency. So just kind of some fun background there, but nevertheless, Chanos will be closing his hedge fund. And then last thing, just a quick look at the calendar. So for tomorrow, for next week, we will get FOMC meeting minutes, and then of course holiday week with Thanksgiving on Thursday. Markets will be closed Thursday, and they'll be closing early on Friday, so just a half day for the US markets on Friday. My schedule will most likely look like Monday and Tuesday having episodes. I'm going to be traveling and seeing family on Wednesday and then through the holiday, so most likely Monday and Tuesday next week. And then finally for today, we do have a second test flight, as we've talked about, scheduled for Starship tomorrow. Launch window opens at 7 a.m. Central Time, so fingers crossed that this will be a successful window for SpaceX. Definitely looking forward to that. So it should be an exciting weekend, but that'll wrap it up for today. So as always, thank you for listening. Make sure you're subscribed and signed up for notifications. You can also find me on X at Tesla Podcast. And we'll see you on Monday for the November 20th episode of Tesla Daily. Thank you.